Ah, there we are. Good morning, everybody. It is the Gareth Cliff Show on The Real Network on a Monday morning. We're in October.
Yep, right in there.
For October.
We've got November and December left.
And then?
We start all over again.
And then what happens?
Christmas. And then January.
And then what happens?
The same thing again. And then we sit here a year later and go, where did the year go?
So let's make the most of it, right?
Yes.
I am a little bit worried. So November, I don't have any like helper, domestic worker or whatever,
because
they're taking time off. And I like cleaning, don't get me wrong. And I'm a mostly tidy person, but it's the vacuuming and stuff, which is just time consuming, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I know that this is like not a real problem, but I'm thinking like I should just shut down the house for the entire month of November.
Oh.
Just like, you know, board it up. Like,
and where will you
like
go?
That woman in that Charles Dickens, in that novel, that classic novel where she just boards up the house and she lives in the one room.
Ooh.
Mrs. Hathaway or something. What is it? Mrs. Dalloway. I don't know what it was. Anyway, should just do that. Cause just the idea and washing of clothes. Like,
yeah, washing of clothes.
I'm so shit at
ironing
that.
Ironing of sheets.
Oh, I'm so terrible at that stuff.
I mean, there is just, I can't put the energy into ironing sheets.
Yes.
I can't. There's
no
way.
You also realize there's some things you're good at and some things you're not good at.
Yeah.
Like I couldn't do some of the work that the people here at the business do. I couldn't do editing a video. I don't know how to do any of that stuff. Better that someone else who knows how to do it properly does it, right? And the same goes for housework, same goes for gardening, which we'll be talking about with Tanya Fisser a little bit later on. All of that stuff. So figure out what you're good at and outsource the rest.
You can find someone temporarily.
Yeah, I know, but I just then that person's in your house.
Yeah, and you've got to arrange keys and remotes and
you know,
how
I leave,
to feed the dog. And
I leave early in the morning and it's like, it's just complicated, right? It just really is. So
just be like Naomi. Take some charity money. I'm sure you've got some somewhere.
I'll just ask for checks
and go and
for the
stay
poor.
In a hotel.
That's a good idea. I'll just ask people. I'll go around with a big board saying I'm raising money for the poor, and I'll legally change my name to The Poor. So when they give me the money, then I can just keep it like Naomi Campbell did. All right. So two Johannesburg sex workers have received life imprisonment for the murder of a client in Sandton. This will put the brakes on your cheating.
Jeez. And there seems to be a running theme of sex workers this morning. But yes, two of them, both of them, have received life imprisonment for the murder of a client in Sandton in April 2019. Apparently, they were at a nightclub, convinced this guy to go home with the two of them. He took them home at 3 o'clock in the morning to his Sandton apartment. One of them was having their way with him in a bedroom.
But he was having his way with them.
Well, that way too.
Sure.
But I don't know, was he? Because
well, in the long run.
She eventually took hold of the situation for some reason or the other. The friend next door, the other prostitute, heard a bit of a kerfuffle and came in and she strangled him with a charging cable.
Sweet Lord, the highest penalty that you can give to this hooker.
But I mean, how strong, I'm sorry, how strong do you have to be?
Yeah, look, but
how
also,
weak was he?
How did it get to that? You know, we don't know the whole story. He might have been very abusive. He might have said something about her mom. You don't know. Could change the whole game, you know? And also, this is why, and I'm happy to say this, like, I have never paid a prostitute. I've also never just taken from a prostitute for free.
For free. Okay, did you kidnap her?
But like I often ask people I know, and listen, there's some probably quite ordinary, quiet, decent people who you wouldn't think would be indulging in this sort of thing. And I've asked people who I know have a penchant for this sort of thing. Like, how do you know that you're dealing with someone who
is not going to strangle you?
It's not going to kill you. Like, yeah, I would be super fucking nervous about this. So it's a very, very odd story. But obviously, people are all over it because it's got the whole element of the sex worker, the guy who's dead, who was paying. like there's moral questions, there's ethical questions. I don't know the answer because we weren't in the room, right?
No, exactly. And like you say, it's the whole story around it as well is what was a bit suspect. So firstly, a family friend discovered him after not being able to get hold of him.
So what, he took them to his house?
Yes, he'd taken them to his house.
Okay.
Not only that, but when the prostitutes left, they stole a whole lot of stuff.
Of course they did. They're prostitutes.
So they've been given not only life imprisonment for murder, they've been given 15 years for robbery and 6 months for theft.
And none for prostitution, because that's also still illegal, by the way. Right?
This is true.
But I don't know. This is just, you got to be so careful, right?
And obviously the South African public was at their best on social media.
Oh, I'm sure. This must have been such fun on X.
So where are the pictures of these ladies, asked I.M. Emani. I want to see something. Restaurants are now their new spot for them to target rich men.
Mm-hmm.
I had a female bestie that told me that when she wants a loaded man, her place to go to is Waterfall Corner on weekends.
Oh, wow. Which is just a shopping center.
So lots of colorful commentary from South Africans.
But I mean, that is interesting, right? Like, where are prostitutes allowed to
trade? Yes.
Because technically they're not allowed to. Technically it's still illegal. So where do the guys who want to meet the prostitutes? And where do the prostitutes go to meet the guys?
I think if you had a circle of friends and you were out at a restaurant and you asked, you would have to ask maybe two or maximum three people in order to find out.
Okay.
I think it's just all word of mouth.
So a mate of mine was just in Dubai and he said that basically you can take it for granted that one in every three women there, especially the very good looking ones, are probably professionals.
Okay.
Yeah, they're not.
So they're not locals,
like,
and married.
Yeah, they're not going to come up to you and go, oh, you're such a great looking guy. I've never met a guy as good looking as you. Don't you want to date me for the rest of your life? And let's get married and let's have children and let's live happily forever in Dubai and the million-dollar apartment that I've got here, coincidentally, even though I don't have a job.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you've got to assume in a place like that that anyone, and I'm not, this is not me being disparaging, but anyone with maybe particular accent, I hate to upset Ruda twice in one day, but...
Twice only?
You know, like if you sound like you're from Russia, Ukraine, that maybe that would be your profession. Who knows? But I would say that in South Africa, it's a little harder to figure out who's who in the zoo. And you probably wouldn't know, right? Like you'd go out with your friends for dinner, as we all have, to some restaurant. Nice place, nice food, nice vibe. And you'll see a table with a couple of girls sitting on their own. And you'll think, that's a bit odd. And then you'll click. You'll go, okay. But you don't know for sure.
Yeah, I've never...
And she might just be waiting. Maybe she's been stood up on a date or whatever.
It's always had to be pointed out to me. I suppose because I've never looked for that sort of thing.
Yeah, me
I
too.
Don't,
so
it's, I don't very, pick
it's
up
hard
on
to
it.
Sort of see
it takes someone else in the car to go, oh, look. Yeah. Look at those two.
Well, let's see what the comments section, because they're all full of it. I think Gareth needs to speak to the doctor about the Auntie Ruda scolding. No, I'm over it, I promise. Anonymous should set me up with the wife. Let's keep it in the TRN family. This is terrible, people. You know, if someone's going to write to us and be vulnerable, we don't smack them in the face by revealing their name and showing a picture of them and all the stuff that, of course, we would never do. You can always send us your problems and we'll put them straight to Dr. Hanan.
We'll be highly Anonymous. Discreet.
Very discreet. Grant says, the hotel I'm staying at is basically prostitution central.
Oh, there you go.
Coming into the hotel, you have to park them like the Red Sea. I mean, it's a high-end hotel. So that's Grant. Was it Grace Mugabe? I mean, who uses a cable? Says Carl.
Wow.
That's hilarious. Dear Linda says, go for it. Upset her. I love it. Dumisha says, the fact that she used a cable would shed light on the fact that it wasn't premeditated. Perhaps.
Yeah, this is true.
You know, maybe that would have, it didn't help because she's got, 15 years. Both of them got 15 years.
Life.
So even the one who was just next door.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Because I suppose she stole and.
Hid the fact that that, you know, it had happened.
Yeah. Actually, that's probably true. Jethro says, Margate Promenade. Really? Margate Promenade, huh? Is not very discreet. Prostitute Alley. Wow. Okay. Women come up to you when you look like you have money. So just dress badly. We should start a new show called The Makhosha Murder Files. What do you think of that? Hey, that'd be quite...
Could have legs.
Yeah, I think it could. Because I know you like those crime and investigation shows.
Yeah, well, I'm watching Monsters. Well, finished watching Monsters last night. That's the Lyle and Menendez brothers.
Ben told me about it on Friday, but give me your...
So I've known of the story before because I've seen their story appear numerous times in different crime shows. And yeah, so I found it enjoyable to watch, but I know that the Menendez brothers are extremely upset with the way that they were portrayed and certain things were portrayed. But I think there was a lot of creative license in what they were using in order to create the story. The one thing that's highly annoying is that, you know, there's always like a cult song, a classic song.
Oh, what is this one?
Milli Vanilli, Girl, I'm Gonna Miss You.
Oh, wow.
So that has been stuck in my head.
Do people know that Milli Vanilli were lip syncing?
Yes,
because that was
the
big controversy back in the day. It's like, yeah. So Milli Vanilli were these German dudes.
German and a neighboring country.
I don't know, Belgium or something.
Belgian or something,
and
yeah.
they did Girl, You Know It's True. Ooh, 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 I love you. And Blame It on the Rain.
Yes.
And this one.
Yes.
That you just mentioned now. That's from this.
Girl,
this,
I'm Gonna Miss You.
So, in other words, that song has had a revival because of this.
Quite a few Milli Vanilli songs.
So now you got a whole bunch of Gen Z suddenly discovering Milli Vanilli.
Exactly.
Oh, God. All right.
And in fact, yeah, there's some people... Oh, gosh, no, it's just, and so it's stuck in my head permanently, this Milli Vanilli song. I actually have the original cassette.
Really?
Which I bought from Checkers. It had like a purple background and the two guys on it. I've got that hidden somewhere.
Guys, see if you can find a picture of Milli Vanilli. Let people see what these guys looked like. I mean, it was in the height of the 80s. Look at
there
that.
Are.
Why are you gay? Right? So, yeah.
So the thing is that...
Listen, they were very cool in the 80s. Everybody loved them. And then we discovered that they were actually, shock horror, they were not the people singing.
Yeah. So they were actually exploited quite a bit. If you look at the story now.
The Menendez brothers or Milli Vanilli?
Well, the Menendez brothers were also exploited in different ways. But it was one man who started up with these two guys. Apparently, they held castings for people to come in. Apparently, they could sing, these two.
So it's like a Simon Cowell.
Yes, one of those dudes said, right. I found these two good-looking guys who will do amazingly. They can sing, but not that well. Let's have auditions and castings for people who can be the voice of. I thought it was the other way around. I thought that there was a band that could sing, but they realized they were as ugly as fuck. And so they... had to find two pretty guys.
That didn't stop Bob Dylan. didn't stop
and then
half
you remember,
the acts that we all love.
And then you remember the real Milli Vanilli. That's hard to say a lot. The real Milli Vanilli.
We've got all day. Go ahead, try again.
Eventually came forward and, you know, revealed their faces and were successful for a little while.
Yeah.
But one of those two is still singing.
Really?
And he's singing... Blame It on the Rain and all of those songs, but in his own singing voice.
And it's not horrible?
No, it's not so bad.
So why, you know...
Shame. So yeah, but I think they're going to have some kind of resurgence.
It's the lying I find so hurtful.
So hurtful. It just leaves you disappointed.
Why? So did you enjoy the Menendez brothers story, Monsters?
Yeah, I did. I think I can see why it's going to be popular amongst Gen Z and that they're going to start dressing in 80s clothes again.
Oh, God.
Probably gymming, bronzing up, wearing hair pieces, perhaps.
Percy says Gen Z think the Ghostbusters are women. Stupid Gen Zs. Okay. Yeah, they really can be led by the nose, that generation. Hey, it's so easy.
Yeah.
I played at a party this weekend because I can't get it out of my head. says Dumisho. I played it at a party this weekend. Okay.
Oh, it sticks. It sticks very, very badly.
Minri says, I live in Dubai and I'm often approached by men for services. So sick of these prostitutes. Ugh.
Mm.
Minri.
Oh, approached by men for her services.
Oh, you prostitute. Mm. What do they do?
Oof, that's got to be terrible.
You know, it must be awful to not be a prostitute and be constantly hidden by men.
Constantly
hidden by men who want to make you their prostitute. Okay. That's horrible. Those are fruits. You're supposed to be talking about growing vegetables. That's coming just now, Slippery Pickle. Calm down. The director is a sick perv. Speaking of Milli Vanilli, there's a movie coming out. It's been shot in South Africa, says Grant.
About them? Hmm.
I think you're making that up, but okay.
Maybe. Very popular right now.
Unfortunately, they've dug so deep into the trough of like crappy stories.
Yeah.
That now they're making a Milli Vanilli movie.
Yeah.
There's an outcome nobody predicted in the 80s when this whole... It was such a scandal at the time. Do you remember?
There's something...
People were horrified. They're like, oh, we've been lied to. How do we know that Madonna's really Madonna? How do we know anything?
Like, it's like when AI first came out and fake news and deep faking. Almost said deep throating. But
oh my God, Leanne. So get your mind out of the gutter. What's wrong with you?
I mean, today's just been a confusing day for everyone.
Really,
okay?
Leanne. Sure.
Jeez. But what was quite funny in the Menendez brothers movie.
Yes.
Or series, they said towards the end when they realized they were going to be in there for life. They said, you never know. Years down the line, there might be, you know, something that comes in where they prove that we were abused, etc. And now, just 2 months ago, there was a new appeal, and apparently it is going to be looked at after decades and decades of denying these appeals from them.
Wow.
So, yeah, this movie has brought it all back out in the open again.
Well, I suppose this is what, you know, bringing attention to these things will do. We'd all forgotten that those guys even existed. After Ben spoke to us about it on Friday, I just looked up a picture of what they looked like now. The one guy's completely bald. He looks like Fester.
He was bald from the beginning, from a young child.
Oh.
So his father used to make him wear a hairpiece.
Oh.
And in prison, they would tear it off of him in the showers. And he
that wasn't the only thing they did to him in the showers.
He was so obsessed with having this hairpiece. And obviously you need a specific glue. He would end up washing it in the prison toilet just to try and keep it in shape, to keep on wearing it.
Oh, my God.
Because his father was so ashamed of his baldness.
So there was a problem.
Yeah.
Big psychological issue.
Yeah.
I think for his homework for next week when he stops laughing, Dr. Hanan. There we go. Look, looks like Fester from the Addams Family.
Yeah. And then that's the other brother on the left, the younger one.
Which one is which?
Lyle is on the right.
Oh.
Who are they? Lyle and why has it slipped my mind?
Come on, his brothers. I haven't watched the show.
So stupid.
Eric?
Eric, thank you. Eric is on the left. He's two years younger.
They both do look like killers to me, but then what the hell am I basing that on? Huh? They look like the kind of oaks who'd also, you know, if now, what we should have done is introduced these oaks to those prostitutes, because then it would have like zeroed out, right?
I don't know how well they would have done with prostitutes, because firstly, Eric was gay.
Oh.
And secondly, they'd both been badly sexually abused, which is one theory, and what they argued in court by their father.
Yeah, he sounds like a piece of work, that father.
It leaves it completely open for you to make your own decision. And there are some family members who are backing what they said.
Mm.
But we're talking like severe rapings by the father.
Jesus, horrific.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's just quickly change the subject, because I feel like we've been on a bit of a theme this morning.
Yes.
Where do you think the most dangerous body of water in the world is located with 100% fatality rate? Okay, so can we show the picture first?
First, I want you to guess. What type of body of water you think it is?
Okay, well, I mean, the ocean claims lots and lots of people every year.
Yeah.
But then which ocean? And frankly, aren't they all the same in terms of how dangerous they are? What's it, a well? I don't think it's a well.
Okay.
I don't think it's a little farm dam. I think that danger immediately makes me go to Russia and to Chelyabinsk and to a place called Karachay, Lake Karachay.
Okay.
Am I right?
No, you're not. Okay. But that was very specific. Well done.
Mm.
It's actually.
I'll tell you why, by the way, because Lake Karachay is the most polluted place on planet Earth. It's full of nuclear waste. It's so dirty and it's so radioactive that the Russian government in the 1970s and 80s covered it in concrete. They poured so much cement powder into it that eventually it solidified. And Lake Karachay is now just a big piece of concrete, like as far as the eye can see. It's huge.
And
it's
is it safe, even though all that stuff's still in there?
No. You will definitely get cancer and many other terrible things if you stick around the lake for more than 5 seconds. It's not good. It's like walking into the reactor in Chernobyl. It's not good. They just dumped it straight into the lake.
Jeez.
And then they covered it in concrete. You can look at satellite pictures. You can go on Google Earth, for example, and you can go to Lake Karachay, Karachai, and it is just a big slab of concrete. Just concrete.
Wow.
There's nothing you can do with it. The fish that were in there just got concreted in.
If they weren't dead already.
If they weren't already dead. I'm sure that everything was dead for miles around because it is absolutely, if you take a Geiger counter there, it just goes all the time. It's horrific.
So now that is one kind of dangerous water. This type
yours isn't going to be nearly as good as that.
No, probably not, but it's pretty spooky.
Okay, go.
Because at least there, what you see is what you get.
See anything. This is kind of see radiation. That's what makes it so terrifying.
This is like a bit hidden, but anyway.
Okay.
So it's the most dangerous water in the world with a 100% fatality rate can be found in England.
Yes.
This is a UK river. It's the Strid.
Oh.
In River Wharfe. It looks completely harmless.
Yeah, it looks quite pretty actually there.
Looks really pretty.
Oh.
What is the thing? So apparently there is an urban legend that apparently anybody who has fallen into it has died. There have been a lot of people who've died by, those little rocks you would jump over. Some parts of the river become more torrential, but some of it's just a bit of a stream that you step over.
It doesn't look dangerous.
Fall into the stream, and what happens? Well, those two plates that you see on the side.
Yeah.
Are almost an illusion because they're just plates that lie on the surface of the earth.
Oh,
everything
God.
From under there caves out into a massive hole.
Oh, wow. So
if you fall in,
you're not going to get out.
You're never getting out. Yeah.
Holy hell. Okay. It does sound kind of scary now. Okay. I got you. So that would be like falling in through.
It's in North Yorkshire.
Yeah, so that would be like falling in through the slot at the top and then you can't get back out.
Yeah. So basically the wharf is funneled through an incredibly tight gap at the Strid, meaning that the water beneath is deep, full of hidden crevices and very strong currents.
Oh, shit.
So as soon as you fall in, everything on top seems fine, but underneath the currents are whipping. They grab you by the ankles, drag you down and out into underneath these cliffs almost.
And you can't get air.
You can't come out again. No.
Horrible. Okay. Wow.
That is like one of the scariest things.
Okay. You do win. I thought I had it with Lake Karachay, but you win.
Apparently, there were these 19th century picnickers. There was a medieval death that was recorded. An artist in 1934. A newlywed couple in 1998. In 2010, an 8-year-old called Aaron Page fell in. His body was dragged downstream. And this infamous part of the river has even been immortalized in poem by William Wordsworth over the years, as well as American author Gertrude Atherton.
Well, there's Vutzarko who says, the Strid, coming to a theater near you. Well, it's not going to be long before someone figures out a way to make this into a documentary that'll get the Gen Z guys and girls super excited, and then they'll go to the Strid for picnics. Watch, it's going to happen. Like, let's go to the Strid because it's like super dangerous.
Yeah, oh,
it's going to be a thing. Okay, well, I didn't even know the Strid existed.
No,
so you've teached me so many things this morning. I love it. That's death by stupidity, says Slippery Pickle. The cenotes in Mexico are more dangerous. Those cenotes in Mexico are amazing. I went swimming in them, 2 years ago? Absolutely incredible. Mm. They're basically these huge big sinkholes that the water gathers in because they don't have rivers in the Yucatan Peninsula. The water table is low. So the cenotes develop as the water kind of wears its way through the ground.
Mm.
And they are crystal clear. And it's spooky because you're like, I don't know, about 100, maybe 150 meters below the ground surface. And you have to go down these staircases or they lower ropes or whatever. And then people swim in them. And they've been there since the Mayan times. So yeah, the cenotes are pretty scary. And they used to throw people in there as a sacrifice. And then, of course, you can't get out because you can't climb. It goes like this.
Yes.
You can't climb out. There's no way. Once you're in, you're in.
Wow.
Unless someone comes and pulls you out with ropes, you're screwed. Gareth, do you know about the elephant foot at Chernobyl? Yes. Do you know what the elephant foot at Chernobyl is? So when the reactor melted down, all the radioactive material from the actual reactor core melted through the floor of the reactor and formed this thing that looks like an elephant's foot.
Mm.
It's like molten uranium 238 and
like construction material
It's horrific stuff. And that is one of the most radioactive places on planet Earth to be. It's not very nice. So you can actually find pictures of it. They sent cameras in there and the cameras just buzzed out eventually after a while because there's so much radiation coming off of there that had completely ruined their electronics. But they have got pictures of it. And the other thing is that when you take pictures or video of something that's hugely radioactive, obviously the radiation ruins the film or the material that you're recording that image or that video on.
Yeah, so even if it's a chip or whatever.
Correct. So it's very, very hard to get a decent image of this elephant's foot. It's pretty terrifying. So yeah, that's gross. And Lake Karachay, don't go surfing in Lake Karachay.
No.
Okay. Or the Strid.
Mm-mm.
Stay away from the Strid because you slip between those plates, it's over.
They're just tickets. Overhangs.
Horrible.
It's an illusion.
All right, let us get to Tanya. I'm really excited to have her on the show. I've seen your show, Tanya, The Gardener, which is on DSTV because my parents are obsessed with it. They love your show. And I only ever have TV when I go to their house. So it's really, really good to have you on this morning. Tanya, to those of you who do not know, and I can't believe you don't by now because she's a massive South African celebrity, Tanya Visser is a gardener, media personality, public speaker, and she's known by most South Africans for her show on the Home Channel. She considers herself a regular gardener by profession who's taken on loads of additional day jobs in order to do what she loves best. And I can tell, it's so easy to tell when I see you on TV that you absolutely love what you do. So it's nice to have you on our show. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, man. It's lovely to be here. When I got the call and I was like, huh? No, come on. What's
did you really go? Did you really go, huh?
I did go, huh? I'm like, no ways. I'm like, okay, I'm in. Let's see what happens.
That's so great. All right. So listen, I've got two reasons for getting you on. And then, of course, there are lots of other reasons that we can talk as well. The first one is completely selfish. I am growing a vegetable garden. And I thought, who do I go to who is the best possible person to advise me on this? And you were the one. So that's the selfish reason. The other reason is I really think that there is a massive movement going on. And I feel like you probably have the same feeling. Maybe you've thought about this a lot more than I have, where people are getting back in touch with the earth. They're getting back in touch with doing this stuff with their hands in the garden because it is therapeutic. It's extraordinarily, what's the word I'm looking for?
Grounding, earthing.
It is. It's grounding.
And people need
this more than ever now because we deal with electronics and we're always walking around with our phones in our hands. And, you know, we're worrying about all the stupid stuff. And actually, we just need to get our hands dirty in some soil.
So good point, Gareth, good point. But I have to reflect. Many moons ago, you interviewed me. And I think you were, gardening wasn't really in for you then, hey?
No, it wasn't a thing. I've grown up a bit, hey?
And there's the point. There's the point that there's an awakening that happens kind of within us as we journey through life, whether, and you can try and shove gardening down people's throats, but if they're interested in cars and they're interested in, you know, setting up their home or saving for their first bond or whatever it might be, or the coolest pair of tackies, you are not going to get there.
Yeah.
However, even in saying that, thank goodness for this awakening that is happening within the world, because that big word, those two big words are really on our doorstep, which is climate change.
Yeah.
And it is right here. And I honestly never thought I'd have to talk about it so much, but it is such a reality. And yes, linked to that, there's this fear factor with like climate change, yeah. You know, like what's happening, because you get this one that says it doesn't exist, this one that says, oh yeah, it's here. But the bottom line is we experience it. I mean, we have snow, we have torrential floods, blah blah blah. We can go,
well, I mean, you live in KZN and you guys have had floods, you've had snow just the other day. It feels like all the seasons have converged on one province in like 1 year.
Yeah, no, I think there's some bad juju, hey?
Yeah, sure. Definitely. What have you been doing? Is there witchcraft going on?
No, I'm not too sure, hey? Yeah, we're not going to go there. It's quite political. But in saying that, there is a beauty and such a grounding, which is the only word that I can really use, in this thing called gardening, where we are able to just be still, to simply just be still and enjoy. You know, together with that, people say, oh, it's so boring. But geez, guys, there's so much that you could get into. And as we do grow up a little bit more, we start thinking about things like, where does my lettuce come from? In that packet that I buy from that shop, you know, the courgettes that I'm buying, what were they sprayed with like the day before? And all of a sudden we start asking these questions and we start asking from whence it came. And the younger generation, thank goodness, are actually asking these difficult questions.
Mm-hmm.
Which is brilliant.
Yeah, you know, I think probably it's become a trendy thing. You've always been into this though. So tell me about how it started to grab you, because gardening isn't something for everybody, but I think it is becoming more popular. When did you decide like this was going to be your thing? And how did you just end up like being the person who wanted to know more? Wanted to, and you do these great shows on TV. You write for the Gardener magazine, Garden Tube. We've got 61,000 followers on there, subscribers. That's huge. I mean, this is amazing. Look what you've done.
That's okay.
It's pretty damn good. Yeah, look what you've done.
Thank you. So my parents, mom and dad, were great gardeners, and we lived in the sticks. There weren't malls. You rode your bicycle and you gardened, and we lived on a largish property, and dad was always in the veggie garden. My father was a builder, and he worked for the same company from when he left school early and became an appy and died at that same company. And wow. My mom worked at the Standard Bank down the road when she left school and retired in that same branch. And so we come from a family that sticks.
Right.
It sticks. And they were both great gardeners. My mom grew roses, anthuriums, orchids, and, you know, weekends were spent in the garden, or we were building the home that was going to be their retirement home. And dad also grew a lot of veg and fruit for extra income. And we'd like load it on the back of the bucky, and then, you know, we'd go and sell it.
And, so what you're saying is you didn't really have a choice. You became
there wasn't a choice. Somebody had to climb up the pawpaw tree and the avocado pear tree, you know, and that was me. Pick me.
I think that's awesome.
But my dad was my absolute idol. And yeah, both from both of them, it truly resonated. And I guess when I left school, you know, it was so difficult. I come from a family of three siblings, and I happened to be kind of okay at playing hockey. So I managed to get a sports bursary because that was the only way I could do any tertiary education. There wasn't money for that.
Sure.
And so it was like, well, what do I do? I've got this massive opportunity. And, oh, gosh, all my peers were going to study a B something.
Yeah.
You know. And I'm like, what is this? I don't resonate. I don't identify with any of this. It's like blowing my mind. And so, yeah, funny story. I eventually decided I was going to become a teacher because I got a full scholarship at Edgewood.
Uh-huh.
And we were actually driving there. We were driving to Edgewood, suitcase packed, everything. And there were no cell phones in those days. And halfway there, I said to my mom, I said, I can't do this. I said, I cannot do this. So we turned around on the highway, drove back, found a ticky box, phoned admissions and said, please give this bursary to somebody who really does want to be a teacher because I don't think I'm the one. And anyway, so life happened and I spent some time doing volunteer work because I thought, well, there's only one way to find out what I really want to do. So I worked here and I worked there and I volunteered at a vet and I volunteered here. And one of the places I volunteered at was a garden center.
Yeah.
And they grew plants and there was a garden center. And I just thought, man, this is like home away from home. It was staring me in the face the entire time. It was right there. But you know what? It wasn't cool.
Yeah,
it wasn't cool to become a gardener. It wasn't a BA. It wasn't a BSc. It wasn't a B. How's your father? It wasn't none of those. And, you know, so to decide to become a professional gardener, it's like, well, these are, you know, like.
Yeah, exactly. And you
so,
know.
So, yeah, so that was the journey.
So, I love the story and I love the detail of like being on your way there and deciding this is not for me because most people would just push through. Let me just do this. You were like, nah, this is not going to be my thing. I'm not going to enjoy it. Let's give it to someone who really wants to do it. And you ended up finding your niche anyway because maybe it found you, hey? You never know. Like people,
it was always there, Gareth. It was just that it was so in my face and it was so close to home because it's what we did all the time. Yet to consider making a career out of this was a bit scary.
So tell me, do you think some people have, because there's this thing about green fingers, right? Like some people are just able to grow anything. They're just amazing in the garden. They can just make it work. They can save an orchid that I couldn't keep alive for 3 weeks or whatever. And then there are people who learn because you say it was always there. It sounds to me like practice makes perfect. It doesn't sound like some people just have a talent.
It's about opening your mind to be willing to learn. And I suppose it's like everything, like, can't do this, can't do jigsaw puzzles, can't do Sudoku, can't do Wordle. You know, the better, the more you do it, the better you become. What, I mean, Gary Player said that. I mean, nobody becomes a professional golfer, for goodness sake. They've got to work hard at it, and you've got to open your mind to it, and you've got to find mentors. And for me, I think I was so blessed to have the most amazing mentors to teach me the skills and the tricks and leadership and gardening and learning about the plant world. And you've got to stick to that. And you've got to just be a sponge and open your mind to it because all of a sudden it does come flooding in. It's the law of nature.
Yeah.
Put it out there and it'll come back to you.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, there isn't a surefire way to do anything. You've got to kind of just trial and error this thing. And I suppose making mistakes is a big part of it too. So, you know, I remember when I moved to and built this house that I live in now, I just planted way too many trees. I've ended up having to cut the poor things down because I just had too many trees. There was, it was stupid. It was a, I was like making a forest. There was going to be no sun. And also in autumn, it's just like hell with all the leaves. So you learn these things along the way. Now, maybe if I ever do that again, I'll have learned some lessons. But I'm doing this vegetable garden. So let's just get into this because anyone can do this. You can, Leanne and I were talking about it earlier. You can have a window box if you live in a flat and you can grow some stuff in that, you know, whether it's little lettuces or, you know, you can't grow an orchard of apples, but you can do something. And I wonder how people who are sitting there, I mean, I look at this comment. This is from Elon, who says, I had too much time on my hands, so I started building stuff from wood. I was terrible at it. Then gardening, and I loved it. Started with flowers. Now I'm planting veggies. I absolutely love it. So you just got to make that first move. But for many people, that's scary. Where do you start?
It is very scary. It is very scary because there's all this botanical jargon, number one. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, And all these terrible names of potassium and nitrogen and iron levels and I mean, really, and they start talking botanical names like Dizzy Gothica elegantissimus and like, really, really. I mean, you want to chase people away. You're going to frighten them. No, it's like I often say people walking into a garden center like newbie, you're walking in there. It's like me walking down that health aisle at Dis-Chem. It is terrifying.
Right.
It's terrifying.
Yeah.
Because there's this. I mean, you can buy 1,000 pain pills.
Yeah.
But one do you pick? Yes. Which one do you pick? You know, I might end up dribbling something. And I use that analogy because walking into a garden center must be terrifying first time. Like, oh, am I getting the right stuff? Is it this? Is it that? Is it balanced? But just take the first step. And all you need is something to put soil into. It can be an old wheelbarrow. It could be a window box. It could be a badly built wooden box. Go, boy. It can literally be a tin that you've made some holes in. That's how they used to grow plants in the olden days, you know. It could be something beautiful. It could be anything. And all you need is the soil. The whatever you're growing it in is actually kind of like on the side.
Yeah.
It all starts with the soil because that is the basis of everything. So whatever you're going to put in there is really important. Are you doing a raised garden or in the ground?
It's in the ground.
Okay, good. Good. What's your soil like?
Pretty shitty. I'm going to have to bring in some soil.
Right. Okay, so you're going to do the soil test to start off with.
Okay, what's that?
And you're going to grab, like, this is really easy. This is cool. This is going to take you back to kindergarten. So you're going to take, get a bit of soil, put a bit of water in it, and try and make a clay, make a ball.
Yeah.
All right. And if it kind of, if in your hand, in your palm, you can make a ball with it and it holds together, then you're kind of okay.
All right.
If that, you're then going to roll that into a sausage if you can.
Okay.
Okay. Roll that ball into a sausage. And if you can bend that sausage, all right, with it not breaking, that means you've got really clay soil.
Getting very sexual. Leanne's getting quite excited.
I know. Stop it. Calm down. Just take some medication. But if your soil does not form, I'm telling you, basic stuff.
Okay.
If your soil does not form a ball, okay, then you know you've got really bad soil because it means that there's nothing holding it together. The stuff that holds your soil together is organic matter. So that's basically those leaves you were complaining about.
Yeah.
Listen, you've got gold there.
Yeah.
You've got leaves falling. You've got gold. Liquid gold it can turn into. So, yeah, you've got to bring in lots of compost.
Right.
Lay it down really good and thick. And you've got to take those leaves that fall in autumn and get some good black bin bags.
Mm-hmm.
Shove the leaves into the black bin bags with a bit of newspaper. Some grass clippings if you've got. It can just be leaves. Quiet in. You know, all the stuff you order from Takealot and online, all those cardboard boxes, tear it up, shove it in there.
Really?
A little bit of water, like, listen, two sprays of the hose pipe. Ch-ch-ch. Okay? Seal it up. Seal up that black bag. Put it, like, behind the garage. Put it somewhere where no one is going to throw it away because they think it's going to need to go to the garbage. And then in that black bin bag, like, poke two or three holes, screwdriver, ding, ding, ding.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Leave it there. Leave it there for about 4 months.
Wow.
Hmm.
Okay, so you need a real good black bin bag.
Yes.
Not that rubbish.
Not the ones that deteriorate. And then after 4 months, what are you going to have in there?
You have what we call leaf mold. And leaf, what is leaf mold? You've all walked in a forest. Come on, Leanne, Gareth, you've walked in a forest.
Yeah,
and you get that, you know that smell?
Yes. Mm.
That earthy, sweet, it almost smells like water.
Beautiful smell.
There's a
smells water.
There's that crisp. And then sometimes, because human nature makes us do this, we grab something. We just scrape the soil. Mm-hmm. And you lift that stuff up. That is leaf mold. That is created through nature by just the elements at breaking down and ending up creating soil. But you've just sped up the process in your black taffy bin bag.
Right.
And you open it up and there is this beautiful moldy leaves that are busy decomposing. And that you're going to take and add to your soil. That is magic. And if you leave it long enough, you can take it and sieve it. And you can end up with some beautiful, fine soil, which you could germinate your seeds in. Man, it is like powerful. It packs a punch, boy. Packs a punch.
It's so interesting.
So here's proper gender with a question for you. Why don't some veggies, like cucumber, have any seeds in them? Is it the corporate's way of stopping us from regrowing produce? Me thinks so.
No. You know what it's about? It's about the consumers demanding something without a seed.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's like, I don't like a watermelon with seed in it. No. Hold on. Oh, let's create one without seed. I mean, for goodness sake. God never made things like that.
No.
So honestly, don't stop messing with it. And then, but then everybody gets all, let's not go down that road.
All bent out of shape about the quality of veggies. But listen, there is a difference. By the way, I've got this video I wanted to show you. So can Tanya see this if we play this? Okay, just play this video because everybody else can watch it too. I saw this morning. A friend of mine sent this to me.
Mm-hmm.
Take a look at this. These hydroponic...
1 month growth of lettuce on an aeroponic...
Yeah,
is 52 lettuces per square meter while using less water compared to traditional farming. And this is 72 days of growth of 36 tomato plants on 4 aeroponic towers, allowing us to grow 9 times more tomato plants in the same amount of space compared to soil farming. It then takes 6 weeks of growth until your mint is ready for harvest, making this method of mint farming the highest yielding way of growing mint. Afterwards, we have tarragon, which also takes 6 weeks of growth. This aromatic herb is easy to grow and is an essential ingredient in French cuisine. And here we have 52 basil plants growing. And just like other aromatic herbs, most of them are ready after 6 weeks of growth. Next up, we have 4 weeks of growth of kangkong, also known as water spinach. This semi-aquatic leafy green is one of the fastest growing plants on the towers. Installing 100 aeroponic towers takes only 12 hours, which will grow thousands of kilos.
Right,
that's enough.
Right.
That's enough.
So
did you get the basic
my
idea?
My question to you is, how many people do you want to feed?
Yeah, no. I'm not feeding a family 500, but doesn't that look cool? I mean, that is a very high tech way of doing gardening, right?
It's super cool. I mean, there are warehouses that have been turned into food production with the right UV lights, growing hydroponically. I have mixed feelings about that. I'm like, if you've got a piece of soil. If you've got a little square foot, if you've got a window box, just keep it simple. The more technology we try and bring into it and the more fancy we try and get, you know, like, hold on, I'm going to out-pimp my neighbor. Check this out. you're going to come across more obstacles, and it's going to become a bit more challenging. And so just stick to basics. And, you know, when you start, yes, start at the base, work with that, become a bit braver, you know, stand a bit taller. Yeah. And then you can do that stuff, dabbling.
All right, but
this stuff.
Don't try to get to like master level when you're still an apprentice, is what you're saying.
Here's
an interesting point from somebody says, can you put your filter coffee and your tea bags in your garden? Apparently that's quite a good thing to do. Yes or no?
Yes, sir. Yes, absolutely. So you want in your kitchen, we've got two big Tupperware bins. Actually, we've got three. Mm-hmm. So the one is recycling. The other one is composting. So in the composting goes tea bags, coffee filter, eggshells, any kind of newspapery things, any cardboardy things without gloss. Right? No glossy. What else? Any peels, including citrus. There's this big, like the strange urban legend thing that, citrus is going to mess up your compost heap and your soil. And it's a load of nonsense. Anyway, just get over that. Potato peels, the same. They used to carry a thing called nematodes. You don't need to worry about that now. So all of that. And you can literally throw that. You can put that into your garden bed. So you can take it as is, and you can have what we call preparation beds.
Yeah.
So say you have got 2 meters, you open up that bed by about 30 centimeters, take out some of that soil. So it's 30 centimeters wide, mm-hmm. about 20 centimeters deep. And as you've got this waste from your kitchen, you just dunk it into there and then cover the soil up a bit.
Okay.
And you just carry on doing that, dunk, 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 till you get to the end of the 2 meters. And then you're going to plant into that. So you've taken all of that nutrition, all of that possible waste, and you've added it to your soil. And, I mean, that is, can you imagine all the nutrition in there? Plus, when you're doing that, I mean, like the scrap of lettuce, like the edge of the cabbage that nobody ever eats. What do you do with that? You like throw it away? No.
Put it back
in. Put it in the compost. Put in the compost.
What about, somebody says here in the comments too, it's fine to talk about this stuff when you start a garden, but maintaining it is a problem. What do you do for pesticides? Because you don't want to use half of those things that you have to buy in the shop. Can you make your own stuff? What do you do when it comes to that?
Yes. Yeah. So there are lots of, it's called conscious gardening. And there are a lot of ways that we can actually get around it. And there's also this thing, and I think it could have also probably come a bit out of the COVID pandemic mm-hmm. where it was like, oh, there's a bug, shh, kill it. Everything was like sanitized, neutralized.
Yeah.
A bit like Chernobyl.
Yeah. You're wiping everything out. Yeah.
It was. But, you know, and we have been so programmed for everything to be perfect. You know, the perfect tomato. The cucumber mm-hmm. without seeds.
Mm-hmm.
Lo and behold, if I pick up a sweet potato and it's got like, it's like growing sideways. You know? Lo and behold, we couldn't touch that. I might grow another ear. We have been so programmed into complete perfection that when we see anything, and we like a tomato that's got a bit of a blemish, oh, my word, can't eat that. Oh, come on, get over yourself.
It's fine,
just,
right?
Like, get rid of it. Just cut it out. Put that back in the compost heap. It's fine. Feed mm-hmm. it back into the soil. But there are ways, besides getting over ourselves, that we can still enjoy it. So it's called companion planting, which means that you plant, and the one that we all know about, basil and tomatoes. Mm. So if you grow basil next to tomatoes, your tomatoes taste sweeter. Your basil really encourages the growth of it. And they make good bed buddies. you want to grow a top crop near a root crop. So what I want to, first thing, don't do this. Do not do this at home, is grow rows of vegetables. It looks quite neat and it works really well for our OCD, but don't.
You
want to interplant.
Must be a bit messy.
It's got to look messy. It's got to be like super messy. I do battle with that.
Okay,
Okay. Just up the meds. So you've got to, no straight rows. You've got to interplant. And herbs in between your veg is really cool. All you need is loads of sun, because then those plants chase away the bugs.
Okay.
So they protect each other. All right. And probably one of the easiest ones is a nasturtium. Okay. Do you know a nasturtium?
It's a little flower. You can eat them.
Yes. Beautiful little flowers. They come up like weeds.
Yes.
You know, once you've sown your first.
Yeah, they put them in salads and things at fancy restaurants. And people aren't sure whether to eat them or not. You can.
Yeah, you can. High in vitamin C, getting sore throat, chew on a leaf or two.
Okay.
I don't know if it's a taste that makes the sore throat go away because you're not going to want to eat it again. But high in vitamin C.
Okay.
Makes great pesto as well.
Oh.
So now if you plant a nasturtium near your veg, okay, and there are those little insects that come along which are called aphids.
Yes.
Fat little bodies, little legs. They suck all the juice out of your plants.
Terrible.
Now, you know, they're horrid little things. They're like from an alien movie.
Yeah.
And they change color depending on what plant they're removing the sap from.
Sis.
But the nasturtium acts as an insect trap. So the aphids go to the nasturtium rather than going to the lettuce or the onions or the broccoli, because nasturtiums are softer and it's easier for them to extract the sap. So they all go there. It's like big party on the nasturtium. So they all go to the nasturtium.
And the nasturtium and then sacrifices itself for the good of all the other stuff.
Hallelujah. And then the easiest way to get rid of them is literally to squash them with your fingers or blast them with a jet of water to your neighbor. Flying aphids. Fantastic. Gareth, there are products out there that if people really just have to open their eyes and read, they will actually see that they're incredibly good products. The organic products that are out there that are in mainstream retail basically are a mixture of garlic, canola, and chrysanthemum extract. And you'll know it's garlic when you open that bottle. Let me tell you. It'll be like Portuguese restaurant in a bottle. and you spray that on. And the thing is, you can spray this morning and you can eat later. So there are ways. We just have to open our minds and, of course, read good content like my magazine.
Absolutely. Sorry, I just had to put that in there. No, you have. No, I'm so glad you did. Listen, there is nothing better than talking to someone who is extraordinarily passionate and knowledgeable about a thing. And we could keep you busy all day, but luckily you have your own means of getting the info out, and you've got your TV show, you've got your magazine, and you've got a whole line of products as well, which you make and endorse. And I think it's just terrific. So it's such a pleasure to have you for even a short time today, just to kind of inspire the rest of us. And I'm sure there are lots and lots of people. This is the right time of year to start doing this stuff, right? Because everything is coming to life.
It so is. It so is. And, you know, those guys that are listening and who are going to listen later, we're here to help you. I mean, it sounds very cliched, but if I make you successful at growing veggies, Gareth, you are going to just talk veggies. God help all your listeners. But that's all you're going to talk about.
Don't worry.
Because you're going to be so proud of your big courgette.
Well, yes, exactly. I mean, it'll be the big courgette that I want people to know about. Listen, I think that this is the most awesome thing. I love talking to you. It's been so much fun having you on the show this morning. Thanks for waking up and being a part of this for us. And I'm sure we'll check in with you again soon. I'll let you know. I'll send you some pictures and show you how the garden's coming along.
Keep me updated.
I will. Yeah. I will. Mm-hmm. I will. Better
Thank
than I
you.
Talk,
Thank
better
you.
That I talk to you about it than I bore the audience to death with my fucking veggie garden. So.
Take care. God bless nice you all. Happy you. Gardening.
Thank Thanks, you, Tanya. Bye. Thank you. There's Tanya Fisser. She's the gardener. And you can find out more about her by checking out her magazine and by watching her TV show. It's all on the...
And on the Tubes of You.
And on the Tubes of You. She's got 60-odd thousand subscribers on Garden Tube. And then, of course, the home channel's popular show, The Gardener, as well as The Gardener magazine. So a big thanks to Tanya. And a big thanks to you for joining us this morning. Thanks,
Always
Ass.
A pleasure.
Been fun.
Always a pleasure.
All right, everybody. Enjoy your Monday. We'll see you on Wednesday at 6 a.m. Be good.